Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Sounds like someone went to a lot of trouble to make the annoying buzz of a simple metal milling machine into this spooky soundtrack for a horror movie set in a dentist's office. But it's actually an advertisement for a kind of computer-controlled milling machine that can produce the key component for a gun, an AR-15 assault rifle. And what's so unusual about this mill is that it's not designed for gunsmiths or the military, it's for the general public. It's called the Ghost Gunner, a simple, set-it-and-forget-it part maker to make untraceable, do-it-yourself firearms. Andy Greenberg, senior writer for Wired, did just that at the office of Wired in San Francisco. He made an AR-15.
You know, I have for a long time been writing about this group called Defense Distributed, this very controversial group that wants to make it possible for anyone in the world to make a gun at home, to make a fully functioning lethal weapon. They've tried 3D printing gun components, and now they're selling this machine that's called a CNC mill, a computer-controlled milling machine. Theirs is called the Ghost Gunner, and it's designed to carve gun components out of aluminum. So they sent me this machine to review it for Wired. You know, there's been this movement of DIY gunsmithing for a long time. You know, people have been making the body of an AR-15 so that they can just buy all the other components off the shelf and have this untraceable weapon with no serial number, completely unknown to the U.S. government. That's been very popular among libertarians for many years. But it's required some shop skills, some machining skills. But the revelation was that with this machine, the Ghost Gunner, I could just really install some software, push a few buttons, and it was all automatic. And I had this perfect machine's body of an AR-15 semi-automatic weapon and ended up with a totally untraceable lethal rifle.
And how much did this cost?
Well, the whole process cost a total of $2,200 for the Ghost Gunner mill, this gun-making machine, all the parts of an AR-15. And that's way more than a regular AR-15. But this wasn't a regular AR-15. This is what some people call a ghost gun. That's where the Ghost Gunner takes its name. It's a weapon that was completely private that I made alone. Nobody had any knowledge of its creation. The government didn't know that it existed.
Are you able to obtain the other components for an AR-15 without any kind of background check or any of the regulations that we've come to know regarding purchase of weapons?
Well, that's one of the amazing quirks of American gun control laws, is that the only part of an AR-15 that's regulated is this body piece, the lower receiver. And the lower receiver isn't actually even the most complex part of an AR-15.
What's a lower receiver?
The lower receiver is the body of the gun. Mm. It's kind of the frame that you attach everything else to, including the upper receiver, which contains the barrel and the chamber and the bolt, the place where all the explosions happen. In many ways, you look at an AR-15 and that looks like the gun. But it's this other piece that everything attaches to, like the grip and the stock and the magazine. That's the lower receiver. That's the only part that has any regulation. That's where the serial number goes. And if you can make it yourself, you can skirt all gun control laws and without actually breaking any laws, end up with a gun that doesn't have a serial number, that you know has never seen any regulation whatsoever.
Is it the case that making a weapon is legal, whereas buying a weapon, it comes under all kinds of regulations, that this is a giant sort of libertarian loophole?
Yeah, if I had wanted to buy an AR-15, I would have had to go through a background check. I would have had to certainly show someone ID. But by making this one part, which actually was fairly simple, it's just a kind of metal frame where that the trigger and the hammer and all that stuff drops into. And in fact, I didn't even make it from scratch. I finished it from a kind of kit that was 80% finished, as close as you can get to a lower receiver of an AR-15 without actually legally counting as one. By finishing that part, I was able to buy everything else online.
What does law enforcement think of this phenomenon?
Well, in California, there have been a couple of incidents. One mass shooting in Santa Monica used one of these so-called ghost guns. A kid who had mental illness created his own AR-15 and then used it to kill five people. In another incident in Stockton, it sounds like there was another one of these ghost guns, an AK-type weapon. And I think that law enforcement is becoming more aware of this. And a state senator in California actually proposed and had passed a ghost gun ban that would make it necessary to put a serial number on a an automatic rifle that you create at home. And then that ban was vetoed by Jerry Brown, the governor of California.
What did it feel like to see this machine spit out this little component that you knew was going to make this gun that you had around you functional?
Well, I spent a week on this project, and I made this lower receiver as part of my experiment three different ways. I, you know, struggled with a manual drill press for a whole day and failed at that. I tried a 3D printer, which worked beautifully, but had some flaws that made it I couldn't assemble it in the end. And then finally used this ghost gunner CNC mill. It was overall, it was a technical process, and I was sort of figuring out, this kind of giant game of Legos, how to get all these parts, how to put it all together. And then the moment when it all did kind of come together, when the upper receiver, the barrel, and the chamber and all that kind of attached to the lower receiver with this chink, and suddenly I had the semi-automatic rifle, I did have this moment of realization that, this was no longer just a collection of parts or some kind of technical undertaking. It was, I had created a lethal weapon, and I could kill someone with it if I wasn't careful, and I had to start being careful where I pointed it. It was a bizarre moment.
How are you different, or how is this conversation different from any of the marketing that the libertarians do of telling people, you got to go out and do this. This is the way you're free.
Yeah, well, I didn't intend this to be either an advertisement for this technique or an indictment that we need to close this loophole. I write for a technology magazine. And I, rather than kind of add my voice to either side of this incredibly polarized debate, the idea here was just to show how this is done, to show how easy actually it is. I think that that's knowledge that is important for everyone to have, no matter which side of the gun debate you're on.
Reporter Andy Greenberg is a senior writer for Wired. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
So how does it further the cause of freedom to make it easy for Americans to make their own untraceable assault rifles and other firearms? We'll put the question directly to Cody Wilson, founder of Defense Distributed, the nonprofit that sold Wired's Andy Greenberg, the Ghost Gunner. That's the computer-controlled milling unit that can machine the parts to make a completely functional and lethal AR-15. Cody Wilson, welcome to The Takeaway, and take that question if you would.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. How does it benefit freedom? I'm not sure that I'm willing to accept it on those terms, but I'll go for it anyway. It's not just Americans that we're allowing to make this machine. We can sell the machine globally, and we have commodity classification to put it all over the world, even into gun control states, and I'm happy to take it there. Basically, it's an affirmation of political techniques, which are currently, by the dominant situation, deemed to be illegitimate. I think that that's highly in doubt, and I think that I can affect these political strategies with or without sovereign legitimization.
Now, just trying to see through some of that opaque language there, it is your notion here that the principle of government being able to trace weapons is an assault on freedom, in a sense.
Maybe not so directly. And so I would qualify with state government. And I believe there's a conflation happening. There's this desire for observability and for traceability. Like forensics and criminal traceability is understandable, and especially in commerce. It's not unreasonable, I think, to require certain licensed manufacturers to perhaps serialize their weapons. But at the same time, there's also this dominant political need for observing what everyone is making, babysitting what everyone has, the standing reserve that technology affords the private individual. And I believe that this invasive tendency to need to observe what the private individual is doing is inconsistent with this same commercial desire to regulate the commerce of guns.
What's more important to you, the idea that someone, if they want to, can do what your company allows them to do, make their own weapon that is outside of this bubble of observable weapons, as you call them? Or would you prefer that everyone has one of these weapons and that the government is completely out of the business of getting involved in firearms whatsoever?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I really don't know how to answer it in the terms that you've offered. I really think what is most valuable in the project, if we can use the term value, is baiting hyper-regulatory mode of, you could say, progressive thought into its terminal conclusions, actually challenging it to try to keep up with and observe all of the guns that will be made with machinery like this, software that's produced and proliferated from techniques like this, actually baiting that security state to become real, is very valuable because it must ultimately lead to the suicide of that kind of power.
But that symbolic hack becomes very, very concrete the moment one of your weapons, manufactured weapons, it gets into the hand of someone that blows away a kindergarten.
Oh, surely, surely. I think that's
how are you going to feel true. About that?
Though no more true than it's been before, right? There's maybe, what, 4 million AR-15s out there in hands already. So I feel like in very meaningful ways, I'm not contributing to a kind of latent criminality that just wishes to express itself and just only can't. If only I can get this $1,500 mill, now I can blow away a class of kindergartners. I believe that there's a bit of not disingenuousness there, I think, on the part of, at least as a talking point used by politicians.
Are you worried about Department of Justice, prosecutors coming after you?
They're going to have to try really hard, John. But I mean, ultimately, right.
They try really hard because you know the law here.
Well, that's just it. You know, I went to law school and they disabuse you of any of these notions like, well, I have the law on my side. Well, the law in the end is just a grab bag of techniques for political operatives to mostly trip you up or use as a spider's web or a dragnet. I don't believe that a government like this one, hostile to what we're doing, will long tolerate what we're doing.
Do you have an AR-15 yourself?
I just bought one like a week ago, and it's strongly ironic because we've produced all these techniques to make them unserialized, and I just bought one at a gun store the other day.
Cody Wilson is the founder of Defense Distributed, the maker of the Ghost Gunner milling machine. Thank you, Cody.
Thank you, John.